Yeah, let's give it up for the band this morning, man. I don't know that there's a better song to kind of kick off this series, as we look at this whole idea of daddy issues. So it's great to have you here this morning. My name's Kurt, and it's great to see you on this beautiful Sunday morning here. And today we're going to begin our look at how our perception of who God is influenced by who our earthly dads are, or our earthly dads were, or our earthly dads weren't, or even how our earthly dads weren't present. And it's just true. It's real. And so, we're going to be taking a look in this series at how all of us, every single one of us, all of us have daddy issues.
Now, who has my father? Uh-oh. Someone has some daddy issues.
Nothing could be my father from the truth.
Who?
You said my father.
No, I didn't.
How?
Didn't. Did not. Shabba.
For me, this is a dad issue.
Dad issue. Hey, dad. Dad be dad. Oh. Daddy didn't love me.
Oh, man. All right. Let me pray for us before we jump in. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather in this room. And it's a beautiful, nice day, and there's a whole bunch of people that have come into this place looking to unlock some stuff today. So, God, our prayer is you would help us to gain a better understanding of ourselves, a better understanding of our earthly fathers, and most importantly, a better understanding of you. And so, for many of us, God, man, we have a hard time seeing you as a good, good father because maybe our earthly dads weren't the best. And so, I just pray that you help me to be clear today, God, help me to be helpful. And just meet us wherever we're at. And I pray these things according to your identity and your character. Amen. Amen. Well, the impetus for this series really is fascinating. Over the last number of months, I've just had a number of conversations with people, men, women, varying, ages, varying walks of life, that periodically they'll raise up, well, my dad this or that. And it just began to hit me that, 30 years later, we're still at times talking about issues that go all the way back to our dads. Even if we had a great father, there still are at times outages. In fact, I had one guy that was talking to me about a month ago, and he was telling me about how he longed for his dad's attention all the time. He felt like he never really got it growing up, and how, his dad recently invited him, a year or so ago, to a sporting event, a couple years ago, and he wasn't really into that sport, but he's like, my dad wants to spend time with me. I've never really got that. So he's like, I jumped all over it, said yes, bought the ticket with him, and then I show up for the event, and as he's handing out the tickets, he's like, oh, his dad had two different sets of seats in different parts of the venue. And he said, oh, you're sitting over here, and I'm going to be down here with some of my other family. And he was bummed out. He's like, I thought he actually wanted to spend time with me. I talked to another guy who talked about how his dad always was in the stands for him. He was always there. He's always felt like he could go to him. But he said, as an adult, it's like I began to have some outages. And it's like what I always thought my dad would be as a grown adult and his friends, he just wasn't living up to it. And so, he was struggling with that. And he has great experience growing up. Another guy who hated his dad. I mean, I talked to somebody recently, every time you turn around, they were talking about, oh, I hate my dad, I hated when he did this. I talked to a 20-something young lady who had just said, I could never really see God as my heavenly father. I just have a hard time embracing that because of the sexual abuse that I experienced growing up. And my dad didn't do the abusing, but he also didn't step in and prevent it. And so I just struggle with that. We all have stories. All of us have stories of how our earthly dad has either blessed us or how our earthly dad has hurt us. And so, big idea for today, and as we kind of kick off this series, is that bitterness towards our earthly dad creates a distance with our heavenly dad. Bitterness towards our earthly dad brings us a distance with our heavenly dad. And you see, when we're upset with our earthly dad, when there's a bitterness, when there's a gap, then we can't get close to our heavenly dad. Right? And he's not going to be close to us, not because of him, but because of where we are. And so first big idea I want us to look at today is we have to recognize the power of dad. All right, there's a power that comes with dad. We have to recognize it. All right, I'm not trying to convince you of it. I'm just telling you what is this morning. All right, now you might be sitting there going, "Well, man, my mom, she was a wench, man. We're not giving her a whole series." All right, as much as she may have been. All right, we're not doing that. I mean, that's those for some reason the mother child relationships don't quite scar us the way that our relationships with our dads do. I mean, if I've heard it once, I've heard it a dozen times from, moms that are like, why is it that I can say something to our kids and then dad comes home and says it and they do it? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. It's just that there is a power that comes with dad, and we have to recognize that. And this impacts our view of our Heavenly Father. Right, here's the thing. Our earthly dad is like a cheap imitation. I'm a dad. I'm a cheap imitation for my kids of what their Heavenly Father is like. And so our earthly dads will set up either a really good, you know, perspective and look and understanding of our Heavenly Father, or our earthly dads will allow us or cause us to despise our Heavenly Father. And so we're going to look at a story today that you may be familiar with. If you grew up in church, you've heard of this a bunch. If you didn't grow up in church, you still probably, you know the story. You've heard it. Maybe you didn't know it came from Jesus. And it's a cool story. It's one of the stories that Jesus made up. I don't know if you knew that Jesus made up stories. I'm going to do a series sometime. You know, things Jesus made up. Because you didn't realize those existed, right? He tells stories to illustrate a point. And this one is one about a dad who has two sons. And some call it the prodigal son. Some call it the loving father. I like to call it the story of the older, anal, uptight, religious older brother. That's what I like to call it. And basically, one son comes and sees his dad. And he says, "Dad, I'm tired of seeing you. Give me my money. I want to leave." And that's what the dad does. He gives him his inheritance and he goes off and he leaves the family home. And he spends all his money on women, wine, and song. And before long, he's broke. He has nothing to eat. And so he's hungry. And he's like, "Well, gosh, this is terrible. My dad will never let me go back and, you know, live in the big house, the family house, because I kind of said, 'Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me my money.' But I probably could go back and live better than I'm living now and, like, work for him. I could just be, like, a minimum wage, you know, hired servant." So that's what he does. He goes back. He's got a whole speech prepared. He's like, "Dad, I'm sorry." And before he could even start the speech, the dad sees him walking down the lane, runs and throws his arms around him. He says, "Bring my best cloak and put it on his shoulders. Bring that signet ring." The signet ring was like a sign of the father's wealth. "Put it on his finger. And that fatted calf we've been saving, go out there and slay that sucker. I mean, we are having a party. My son is home." All right, they're partying out. And so you get this picture that this father is like incredibly graceful, incredibly loving. All right. Now, it's interesting because he has another son, as we're going to take a look at in a moment, and this son is amazingly terrible at forgiveness. All right. This son doesn't even understand how powerful the dad's emotions are playing into his life. I mean, the father's, you know, decisions and what he's doing is actually impacting this other son's, you know, emotions. And so, I got a little bit of a picture of this summer. We were out west traveling with our family out in the Bay Area of San Francisco. Beautiful area if you've not been out there. And we decided to go to Alcatraz. Anybody been to Alcatraz? The Rock, yeah, I love it. It's really cool. I've been there once before, but took our kids for the first time. It was interesting. We did like the hour tour, the audio tour, where you kind of self-guide yourself through the tour in and out of cells. And it was cool, but have you ever tried to keep like 6 people listening to an audio tour on track when they each have their own device? I think it's crazy. It's like trying to herd beetles, right? It's, you know, everybody's all over. But anyway, it's really cool. My son Matt, he was really enamored with some of the criminals that you heard about in this, and he ended up buying a book called like the 12 infamous, you know, most infamous criminals that were, you know, on the Rock and in jail there, in prison at certain points. And it was fascinating. I was reading through it on the way home, on the flight home, just skimming through each page, and something began to stick out to me in this book. And the common thread, there's probably others, but the one thing I began to notice is most of these men, most notorious criminals of Alcatraz, had an absence of the father. In fact, Al Capone, he says he claimed his father died when he was like 14. And it just hit me. I thought, man, there is the absence of a father, there's something powerful when it comes to dad. And we see this statistically all over our country, right? I mean, 63% of you suicides, are coming from fatherless homes, 5 times the national average. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes, 9 times the average. 75% of adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers are from fatherless homes, 10 times the average. 80% of rapists with anger problems, it's probably all of them, right, come from fatherless homes, 14 times the average. 85% of youths in prison come from fatherless homes, 20 times the average. Those are those guys. 85% of children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. By the way, you can have a fatherless home if father is emotionally absent as well, not just physically absent. 90% of homeless runaway children are from fatherless homes. Get this, 32 times the national average. And yet, we say, oh, dads don't matter. Dads, oh, they don't matter. In fact, Hollywood has a difficult time like projecting a positive image of father. Have you ever noticed that? There's virtually nothing out there that projects a positive father image. Interesting, right? Could we say Hollywood has, let's say, like daddy issues maybe? Yeah, I think they do. You know, and so, and let me just say, you know, I know we have a number of single mothers here at Crosspoint, which is awesome, and we are so excited you're here. Let me just say to you right off the bat right now, if you don't have a classic father figure for your children right now, I just want to say, you know, you don't need to begin to worry about, man, my kid is doomed, he's never going to make it, he's going to have a terrible life, all right? That's not necessarily the case. Right? I believe that the fact that you're even here this morning is a sign from God to you that he's with you in this. All right? He really is. And I just think, you know, for single moms especially, God gives you an extra dose of grace. I mean, you guys are superheroes to me. And so I just think God gives you extra doses of grace, especially in times when you need it. I also believe there are males who come into your life and your kids' lives at times in just the right time and just the right way to kind of fill those gaps. In fact, it's one of the reasons we love kids' environments. We love our kids' environments here on Sunday mornings, and we love seeing men engaged in our kids' environments. We have a high percentage of men that serve in kids' environments. Let's hear for the men that serve back there, man. A lot of you, I'm seeing some of you in yellow shirts in here right now. You guys serve with our kids. You know what? You want to make a difference in the life of a kid, you want to stand in a gap, get involved in kids' environments. Sign up to volunteer in the back of your car today. CSM, Crosspoint Student Ministry. Guys, you will be the stand-in father figure at times for kids who don't have that in their life. It's one of the things the beauty of the church brings to people. All right? And all I'm saying, single moms and even single dads, is, you know, if you don't have that figure in your life, don't get bummed, all right? We just can't ignore the power of a father. Now, you know, those statistics we looked at are all about fathers being physically not present, but what about the emotionally unpresent, the dads that were there but just emotionally checked out the whole time? You know, well, you know, it's kind of the same. I mean, you know, some of your dads were like awful. I mean, they may have been there, but you never really got anything from them. And in both cases, what has to happen is we have to start forgiving our earthly father. So we have to do. We have to start forgiving. To get to a new place, we have to begin to do new things. To get past the bitterness, we've got to begin to forgive. Even if you had a great relationship with your dad, but maybe there's a few outages, we have to begin to forgive those things. This is what happens in the story of the prodigal son, loving father, tight, older, anal, religious brother. All right, we see this older brother has to wrestle with forgiveness, and he doesn't do it well. He's terrible at it. Terrible. And because, see, for him, every time the younger brother gets another cut of the inheritance, it's like his portion's just whittling away. Like, it's just wasting it away. And he's like, there's nothing left. It's causing him to be bitter toward his brother. So let's take a look. Luke chapter 15, verse 28. This is also in the Bible button in the Crosspoint app if you want to follow along there. It says, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes home, notice he says your son, not like my loving brother or your treasured child. He says, this son of yours, you know, kind of like I want nothing to do with him. When he comes home and has squandered all your property with prostitutes, you kill the fattened calf for him? I mean, the dude's angry. And notice it said when he became angry. See, you know what's interesting about anger? Is anger is something that just doesn't go away, right? I mean, you can't just like turn it off and be like, oh, I'm fine now. Totally good. You know, no, not angry at all. Doesn't work that way, does it? The only way you can become not angry is to replace it with something else. Right? And it's the same way as like addictions in the recovery process. If you have an addiction to something, you know, heroin, alcohol, whatever it is, the only way you know, beat that is to replace it with something else. Could be sometimes it's another addiction to like caffeine, or could be addiction to working out, something different. All right? See, when we're angry, when we're like, oh, it makes me so angry, the only way we move past that is to replace it with practices of forgiveness. Not like I'm going to get vengeful. Oh, I'm going to. No, it's to replace it with practices of forgiveness, of loving your neighbor. Which, by the way, this isn't just a dad thing, in case you're wondering. All right? This isn't even just a mom thing or a brother thing. This is like an everybody thing. Jesus says you need to love your enemies. You need to pray for those who hurt you. All right? Now listen, Unfortunately for some of us here this morning, our dads have been some of our worst enemies in our life. And you need to pray for them. You need to pray for blessings for them. I'm not talking like, God, will you please show them everything they did wrong and make them feel really bad? I'm not talking that. I'm talking you need to pray for good things, for blessings into their life. And I know some of your dads were monsters. I mean, there is nothing redeeming about them at all. And yet for many of us, our dads showed us some of the best characteristics of who our Heavenly Father is, and they even showed us some of the more negative characteristics. You know, for me, my dad, man, he was always there when I was growing up. I mean, my dad, I had a good dad. I don't know exactly what my brother's experience was. I think they'd mostly agree. But for me, my dad, I can remember he was always there at every sporting event, every music thing. I mean, I remember playing junior high sports. And, like, remember when games were, like, at 3 in the afternoon because you're in junior high? My dad would take off work. He would be there. I remember being injured one whole year. I mean, I got injured like the second game of the season, sat at the end of the bench to be there with my team. My dad still showed up to those games. I remember seeing him one day and just thinking, dude, man, this is so boring. This game is terrible, and yet he's there. I mean, he was always there. So I have no problem, you know, seeing God as somebody that is always there for me because I had a good model of this. You know, I just instinctually understand my Heavenly Father that way. All right, I don't have any instinctual things where, you know, I have this disconnect where I'm like, oh, man, God has abandoned me. Now, I don't always like everything God decides. There's moments where I'm like, God, why didn't you move slower on that? God's timing's always perfect. I never have to forgive my Heavenly Father. All right, but I don't always like the way God moves or when he moves, but I don't have to forgive him at all. And at the same time, conversely, there were some outages. I didn't even realize them until later. In fact, one of the things when I became an adult, I realized is I never saw my dad have really deep connections with other men, where he just really leaned in to connections with other guys. I mean, he had friends. But he never really had deep, authentic, you know everything about me relationships. It was a lot like, you know, let's talk about the Pacers and IU and, you know, how the Colts are doing, that kind of stuff. And because, you know, when you open yourself up to those kinds of things, and I think he's grown some in this over the last years, but when you open yourself up to that, people begin to see you for who you really are. And I remember this huge aha moment in my 20s. When I fell in kind of to some relationships with some guys where we were accountability partners, really accountable to each other, and they knew everything about me. And I just remember how freeing that was, and it also made me angry. Because I was like, I never saw this. My dad never gave this to me. In fact, they got kind of ballsy a few years later. I was sitting with my dad and my grandfather, and we were just sitting hanging out, and I said, hey, just interesting question for you guys. I've really developed some relationships with some guys in my life. Who have those guys been for you? I'm really interested in knowing. And they both just sat there and kind of looked down. And my grandfather eventually kind of slammed his fist into the table. He's like, one time I told somebody something very personal. And he told somebody else. And I decided I would never do that again. Ding, ding, ding. Like, that's it. My dad, I don't even know that he was capable because his dad didn't show him how to do this. And I was angry about it. I was bothered. I was somewhat bitter that I'd never had that. And see, when it comes to our earthly dads, we can fixate on all this bitterness and the things they didn't do. And it actually causes us not to be able to get close with God. There's actually a distance between God and I. So we have to come to the place of forgiveness. Second thing, we have to release your earthly dad of responsibility. You have to release your earthly dad of responsibility. You know, this is interesting one. You know, when you're under your father's roof, you are under his responsibility. You know, if you're 15, 16, you're under your father's responsibility. When you move out, you choose whether you want to still be under his responsibility. Now, you may be 15, 16 and have an awful dad. Your dad may be, like, emotionally abusing you. You don't have to stay under that. Now, you still may live there. right? But you can choose to not come under that emotional, you know, heartbreak and that stuff that just continues to get thrown at you. And it's hard. It's difficult. But when you become an adult, all right, you've got to make the decision. We've got to come to the place of saying, you know, am I going to continue to look at the things and fixate on the things my dad did that was less than what I hoped for? Or maybe he just used the best tools that he had, but he didn't wasn't always what I needed. And if we fixate on those, it's like we're continuing to put ourselves under our Father's roof. All right? It's like we continue to put ourselves under his control. All right? And at some point, we've got to step out from under that roof. We've got to get out. We've actually got to go to a different place. And the way you go to a different place is you forgive him. Again, you get rid of the bitterness. You get rid of the fixating on these things. Now, Jesus talks about this a lot. Talks about forgiveness all the time. It's like a major message. Talks about how we need to practice forgiveness. Now, some of you are sitting here, you're going, man, there is no way, Kurt. I don't care what you say this morning. No way I'm forgiving my dad. There's certain things I will hang on for the rest of my life on. You know, it's funny because I think people around Jesus did the same thing. You know, I don't care what time period you're in. I think forgiving other people is always hard. I really do. I don't think anybody ever jumped up and down about this. But see, I think this is also why many of us are lacking joy and peace. I really do. Because we're holding on to bitterness. The Apostle Peter, he struggled with this once. Here's what he said in Matthew 18. He said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Peter thinks he's pretty impressive. He's like, Jesus, you know, just lift myself up a little bit. Should I apologize like 7 times? Jesus is like, no. 77. Then he's like, times 7. You know, so, you know, you're like, oh my word, how do you even do that? You know, well, think about this. I don't even know that most of us have had some person, any person apologize 7 times to us, right? Unless it's like your kid and you're like, apologize. I mean, that's it for some of us, right? You know, and you're like, yeah, I don't offer forgiveness. Why do we not offer forgiveness to people? Because we're still waiting for an apology, right? We're like waiting for them to come and apologize. Jesus is like, do it 539 times. Do the math, 7 times 77. And you're like, how do you do that? Well, see, it's a different kind of forgiveness. It's not the kind that we're waiting on. It's one that we intentionally practice because we want to release it. In fact, the word Jesus uses right there is aphemi. The Greek word is aphemi. He says, I want you to aphemi. 77 times 7 times. Aphemi, I want you to forgive. 77 times, I forgive you. I want you to aphemi. I want you to release it. I want you to let it go.
Let it go. Let it go.
What'd you think? You're gonna get like frozen or something right there? Really? You guys like not know us here? Seriously. You know, he says, you gotta let it go. You gotta release it. He says, if you know, you gotta like let it go and let it drip down out of your being, and you can't hold on to it any longer. If your dad has said something, done something, as great as a dad as he may have been, or as terrible as a dad as he may have been, if he's done something or said something that's hurtful to you and it can't leave you, you've got to figure a way to shake it out.
Regrets collect like old friends, here to relive your darkest moments. I can see no way. And all of the ghouls come out to play. And every demon wants his pound of flesh. But I like to keep some things to myself. I'd like to keep strong. It's always darkest before the dawn, and I've been a fool and I've been blind. I can never leave the past behind. I can see no way. I'm always dragging that horse around. All of his questions, such a mournful song. Tonight I'm gonna bury that.
You know, that absence, those words are very real. And I'm not denying that those words are real. I'm not denying that those moments that have happened to us don't create pain, haven't stung. I'm not even denying that it's easy to get over. All I'm saying is we have got to get to the place where our bitterness, we let it go. We let it go. Whatever it takes, we got to shake it off. We got to shake it out. You know, one of the things that's helped me, one of my friends, my good friend, said to me a few years ago, he said, because I had a great dad. I mean, I had a great dad. I mean, there have been outages at times because my dad's just a cheap imitation. I'm a cheap imitation for my kids. Like, Julie and I joke all the time, like, man, our kids are going to be in counseling on something. You know, I mean, it doesn't mean we're not good, but we got to get to the place. And my friend said to me, he said, Kurt, you've got to let go of those things that you're bitter about because you can't expect him to give you something he doesn't have or he's not capable of. It's almost like we got to think at times of our father like an invalid, right? Where, you know, because, I mean, he's not trying to hurt you in most cases. In most cases, your father is not trying to withhold information from you. He's not trying to, you know, get you to have some disconnect or screw you up. You got to think of him like a paraplegic. If you've got a father, you look at him as a paraplegic, you're not going to go up to him and be like, hey, will you go run a mini marathon with me? You're going to be like, oh, he can't do that. He's not capable. See, whenever we look to our dads, you know, and we look for something that they're not capable of, you know, we sometimes think, well, they're just trying to screw me up. Couldn't he just, like, the next time he leaves my house and goes back to his state, wherever he's from, couldn't he be the one that, like, starts the embrace before he leaves? Why am I always the one that has to do that? Can't he just start at once? No, he probably can't. He's probably not capable. Right? Couldn't he be the one that when, you know, when he's writing me the birthday card and he literally just signs dad, couldn't he just write one sentence in the bottom corner, personal to me? Probably not. Probably not. See, when we ask or expect something for our fathers to rise to something that they're not capable of, they can't even do, who's getting hurt? We are. We are. We get more and more bitter. Medical research is incredibly clear on this. One doctor said this. He said, physiologically, when we feel negatively towards someone, our bodies instinctively prepare to fight that person, which leads to changes such as an increase in blood pressure. We run hot as our inflammatory system responds to dangers and threats. Feeling this way in the short term might not be dangerous. It might even be helpful to fight off an enemy. But the problem with bitterness is that it goes on and on. When our bodies are constantly primed to fight someone, the increase in blood pressure and the chemicals such as C-reactive protein eventually take a toll on the heart and other parts of the body. The data that negative mental states cause heart problems is just stupendous. The data, get this, is just as established as smoking, and the size and the effect is the same. See, Proverbs 14:23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Why is the writer of wisdom say guard your heart? Because he says everything comes from it. So you know how you guard your heart against heart disease? You don't smoke two packs a day, right? You know how else you guard your heart against heart disease? You forgive. You forgive. I mean, there's like a full onslaught multi-million dollar campaign against smoking going on in our country right now, right? And it's working, right? I mean, I think smokers are like some of the hated people in our culture anymore. I mean, people are smoking, fouling my air up. You know, it's working, I guess. You know, you don't go around to somebody and go, man, you don't smoke two packs a day? Dude, you should try it, man. It rocks. You just don't say that, right? But somebody comes up and is like, man, my dad, I'm bitter. And you're like, I know, my dad was that way too. Man, you should never forgive him, right? We champion holding on to the bitterness. I mean, you never go up to somebody and be like, hey, two packs of Camel unfiltered, you know, on a day. Man, go for it. It's awesome. We don't do those things. And yet, we hold on. And then the research says the heart stuff, on the psychological level, the bitterness is just the same. If we want to get to a new place, we have to forgive. The older brother, he's upset. He's not forgiving. I mean, he's like, Dad, this calf, I wanted a party. You didn't even let me have the party with this calf, and yet your son, and guess what? There's a party happening, in case you didn't pick up on that. There's a lot of joyful, happy, peaceful people. Guess who's not there? The older, religious, anal older brother. He's hanging out complaining, having all this bitterness. Clue phone, bring, bring. You know, hello? There's a party going on. Somebody just cut the calf up. It's a big deal. Why don't you join us? Guess what he's doing? He's still outside because he can't get past the bitterness. And he can't come to a place of forgiving his dad. And I know, man, I know this sounds countercultural. I know this is not normal in our culture. I'm telling you, this does work. You don't think it can happen in your life. It works. It is working. It's been working in my life and many people's lives. I don't know if you saw the most recent rendition of the Disney Cinderella movie last summer, I believe it was. With three girls in our house, three daughters and a son. So we all went. I mean, it was cool. I enjoyed it. It's actually a really good version of Cinderella. And, I'm not going to worry about the spoiler. You know how Cinderella ends, right? I'm not going to worry about telling you. You know the story. But this Cinderella was fascinating. Because at the end of the story, it actually did end a little bit differently. You know, Cinderella, she's at the ball, right? Prince Charming's there. He's whisking her off into forever and ever. And they just get outside the ball. And you know what she does? She stops. She turns around, goes back into her evil stepmother, and she forgives her. And then the prince takes her arm, and they go off into, now you know, happily ever after and after. People got pissed about this. They were upset. They're like, you don't forgive the evil stepmother. She's evil. You don't like let her off the hook on this stuff. And it's like finally somebody in Hollywood got it right, right? They like tied into something. Because here's the thing. You can't go into happily ever after if you're bitter. Cinderella had to stop and go back and forgive her stepmother for all the things she had done in order to be able to happily ever after live with her Prince Charming. See, you can't have a joyful, bright future if you're holding on to bitterness. It just won't work. The older brother, he could not figure this out. He did not want to go in, and as a result, he had no joy at all. No joy. But see, you can. You can receive it. You can choose to go a different path. You can get to a new place regardless of what your dad has done. You have to make the decision to say, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to release it. In fact, it's one of our next steps today. I want you to take out your connection cards on the back of your connection card that we filled out earlier or in the CrossPoint app. There's a number of next steps there. We encourage you to pick one and say, hey, here's my response out of today. And if it's coming back next week and that's as far as you've gotten, awesome, man. We're so excited you'd come back and join us next week. I think for many of us, even if you had a great dad, man, you know, there's probably some outages, some places you've held on to some bitterness. And we've got to decide today, am I going to let go of that? Because I can't grow closer to my heavenly Father until I do. And, you know, it gets easier. It's hard, but as you do this, it gets easier. I mean, I can honestly say I don't have bitterness toward anybody right now. I mean, I there's nobody in my life that is unforgiven to me. I mean, I've forgiven people that they didn't even know they hurt me, all right? I mean, I've let it go. I'm like, I don't have time to hang on to that. And it's interesting because initially when you start to pray like good things for them, you're really honestly like, oh God, just please bless them, please. You know, you're like struggling to get the words out. It's hard at first. Eventually it gets easier and you begin to do it more naturally. Listen, I have forgiven people that have run my name into the ground, through the muck, tried to ruin me, and then come up and talk to me and just all smiles. Hey, Kurt, we love you. I can interact. I just, because I've let it go. I've let it go. And so we have to decide if we're gonna do this or not. I think it's part of why I have a healthy connection with God, because there's nothing that I allow to take that place. You can't be joyful and peaceful if you're holding on to bitterness and a grudge. So I want to do something. PJ is gonna kind of play here for a moment, and I want to do a little exercise as we close. And I think it's very appropriate for us to do in this setting, because I know you've been thinking about an event. This morning as we've been here, you've been thinking about a moment or about some words that you received from your father. Or maybe it was an absence. Maybe you just wonder what he looks like because you've never met him. You know, maybe there's some pain from something abusive, something that happened. Maybe it's even, you know, a sexual thing that happened. And maybe your dad didn't do the sexual abuse, but maybe he never stepped in to stop it. Maybe you're just longing to hear your dad say, you know, man, you're my daughter. I'm so proud of you. You're my son. I'm so proud of you. Man, the last 30 years of my life with you in it have just been a blessing. Maybe you just want to hear those words, and he just can't get it out. You know, we have to recognize, as great as our Heavenly Father is, and as great as our earthly father is, our earthly father is still a cheap imitation. I'm a cheap imitation of our Heavenly Father. One of the best things I can do for my kids, and I do this periodically, I'll tell them, I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm a good dad. Sometimes I don't wait for them to respond, you know, you just keep moving, you know, but you know, as good as I may be, you've got a dad that's even better than me. You've got a Heavenly Father who will always be there. When I can't be there, he'll be there. Build that in. So I want you to go ahead and bow your heads if you want to do this. You don't have to do this if you want to. Don't you bow your heads if you want to participate. Just take your fists and ball them up and put them in your laps. Just make a tight fist. Two fists. This is kind of a posture that we've probably been operating in for quite some time. You know, just holding on to that bitterness. Holding it on. Maybe you have zero issues with your dad, and this is for somebody else right now. But for most of us, it's probably with our dad. Let's just put our hands out in front of us now and physically a Femi. Let's represent Femi. Just let it go. Just drop it. Just physically represent dropping it. And as we do this, I just see in minds, messages, things you've heard just dripping out of your head, down your spine, off your rear end, into your seat, and dripping to the floor below, right next to your feet. Just reach your feet below your seat and just grit it into the ground. Those things are done. They are out of you. They are under you. Your Heavenly Father does not let those define you anymore. Perhaps your earthly father hurt you. Maybe he financially hurt you. Maybe he took out a loan in your name. You had no idea, but now you're responsible to fulfill it. Maybe you have a dad who didn't take your complaints seriously. And so now you have some physical ongoing thing because he didn't pay attention to you. Just release it. Let it drip off. Let it drip down your spine, through your rear end, right through that seat to the floor, puddling up underneath your seat. Just put your feet and stomp it. Smear it into the ground. Why don't you just pray for your dad right now? Forgive him. Even if he was a good dad, there's something that you're like, I'm a little bitter about. Just forgive him. God, we're able to do this and have a hope because of your character and identity. Father, I'm thankful I've never been hurt by you. In fact, I never have to ask forgiveness, because you're perfect. You don't make mistakes. You're perfect in all your ways. God, some of us have a hard time understanding that. Help us to begin to grasp that right now, that you're a good, good Father. You even need to hear that from your child. Let's just sing that together. Let's just sing, you're a good, good Father.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us.
God, we just believe there's something significant happening right now. God, I just pray that you would just allow us to lean into you right now as our good, good Father. God, help us to forgive our dads. Help us to move past those things and, you know, to release. And God, I just pray that you build into us right now exactly what we need. In fact, before we end this prayer mode, I just want us to just take a moment and tell your Heavenly Father what you need right now. Just go ahead and tell him.